Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Psalm 27, which is a psalm of David and is his great testimony of faith and trust in God. As we come to the word this morning, let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and we thank you for the great gift to us of your word. It tells us of yourself and gives us the words of life and direction for us day by day. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look at your word this day, that you might use it in us to strengthen and challenge and renew us to serve you, that you might receive honor and praise and glory through us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. As Jay mentioned earlier, we are in an election year. It probably means extra work for him as he teaches political science and has to analyze everything that everybody's saying and go through it with his classes. I think once is enough for me. But anyway, we're in an election year. And no matter what the particular politician you happen to be listening to at the time is saying, in whether he's proclaiming that he's going to give you all of the desires of your heart free from the government, you can have anything you want, but it's free. Or he might just be saying that he's going to solve all of the problems that affect our nation and you don't have anything to worry about. Whatever it is that they're proclaiming, what they're after is your trust. They're trying to say what you want to hear or what I want to hear so that we will trust them and ultimately then vote for them. But the problem is that with any politician, and it's true of all of them, you never get what's advertised. You might in some ways, but they never truly fulfill everything that they proclaim. In Psalm 27, we have David the king proclaiming that his trust is not in some politician that's trying to, you know, get his ear and get him to do what he wants him to do. God, David is telling us that his trust and his hope is not in another man, but it is in God himself. And that is the only place, he says, that we can have any true and faithful and complete place of trust. This is his testimony as to how God has upheld him and kept him. We have in the first three verses David giving us his confidence in God, a confidence that dispels all of his fear. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" The Lord that he speaks of here is, he uses the word Yahweh in the text. It's the I Am, the personal God. The God who is always existent. The God who has existed from before time and will exist after time. He's always there. He's the God who actually spoke to his people. Think of that. He spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He spoke to his people from Sinai as he gave the law. They were terrified. And they actually told him not to speak to them anymore. And he agreed and only spoke to them through Moses again after that. But he's the God who is there. He's present. He's a personal God. He's the God who literally led his people out of slavery. With a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, they could see his presence leading them and directing them. And David says, "This Lord is my light." He's not relying on someone else's description of God. He's not relying on someone else's trust in God. But he's saying, "I trust in this God. I rely on him. I place my hope on him." And he says that he's my light. He's the one who gives me direction. He's the one who leads me. You see, light in, especially in David's day, was very important. It's important in our day, but we have so many sources of light. Like, you know, count the lights here, just to give light in this building. In David's day, it would just be, you know, bigger windows and maybe a few torches or something to help light things up, and it wouldn't be this bright probably. At night, people went inside and stayed there. Why? No street lights. And even inside, there was poor lighting. At least what we would consider poor lighting. Light was very important. If you did have to go outside at night, you had to try to take some kind of light with you, a torch or some kind of a light. You might carry an oil lamp with you or something, whatever you had to give some light so you wouldn't trip and stumble. And so the symbolism of light is that which enables us in our Christian walk to walk without stumbling, to walk, seeing where we're to go, seeing where our goal is. That's what David is saying, that this God, this personal God in whom he trusts, is the one who leads him securely in light through his life. He's his light and he's his salvation. And he's speaking of salvation actually in two ways. He's his salvation from sin. He's his provider. He's his salvation from that which is his greatest need, that his sin be taken away. And he recognizes that this God is the only one who can do that. But as he goes on through the psalm, you'll see that God is his salvation in a physical sense as well, as it is God who overcomes his enemies. It is God who keeps him and is his defense. As David says, whom shall I fear? I mean, if God is upholding me, if God is the one who is saving me from sin and he is saving me from my enemies, what do I have to fear? He is all powerful. He can provide. And he is the strength or the stronghold or defense of my life. Depending on the translation you have, it could be either defense of my life or the strength of my life or the stronghold. The whole thing, the phrase there is speaking to us of the fact that God is all that I need, that he is the one to whom I can flee in the time of trouble. I like the word stronghold in there, but translations vary because the word has some variance in meaning. But I like the word stronghold because it's that place to which you can flee, and you know, you can slam the door and nobody can get in, kind of thing. There aren't too many places like that anymore, due to the type of weapons that exist anymore and the targeting systems that they have that can make them hit anywhere. But even though we don't have security from armaments, we do have God who can direct them a different way. And David is saying that the Lord is all that I need. He's all that I need in this life and in the next. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? You know, when my enemies, evildoers, come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. He's speaking here of his enemies that you might say were right around him. Enemies that he could possibly even name. Enemies that were within the kingdom, that were trying to subvert things and trying to possibly overthrow him. He says that when these people came up, they stumbled and they fell. You know, if somebody's chasing you and you're running for your life, it's good when they stumble and fall. And you try to do what you can to make that happen. But he says that when these people came upon him to devour his flesh, as well, you know, maybe they weren't really, they probably weren't really cannibals, but you know, when they came upon him to destroy him, their adversaries and their enemies, what does he say? They stumbled and they fell. They couldn't do it. You know, when your enemy stumbles and falls and he's trying to fight you, it makes it a lot easier for you to dispatch him and do something about him. And that's what David is telling us here, that the Lord, who is his stronghold and his defense, upholds him against his enemies. Though a host should encamp against me. When I read that phrase, we don't have that too much of that happening anymore. But what comes to my mind is a scene from the old film The Longest Day. That particular film is about the D-Day landings, and particularly details that day. But the one scene that that brings up is inside the German bunker there on the coast. There's a fellow that's a lookout, and he's back and forth on the telephone to his headquarters, and they're talking and so forth, and he says, "No, I can't see anything. It's all clouds. It's all nothing. There's nothing happening." And as it gets to morning and the fog starts to lift, he looks out there, and as far as he can see out and as far as he can see to either side, there are ships. And he grabs the phone, and yells out to whoever it is at headquarters that he's talking to, and he says, "It's the invasion, it's the invasion." And they didn't believe him. And so he holds up the phone, and you hear the shells going over and smashing down. And they believed him after that. But that's, you know, a host camped against you and coming at you. It brings out real fear if you're the one on the receiving end. But what does David say? "Though a host encamp against me," a great army surrounding my city. "Though a host encamp against me," you see their tents out there. At night you see their campfires. You hear them marching and doing what they do. "Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I'll be confident." Why? Because his feet are founded on the trust of the Lord himself. He knows the Lord is looking out for him. Think of how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 8:31-39. He says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Think about that. If God is for us, who is against us? "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, 'For thy sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the foundation upon which David rested. This is the foundation upon which we're to rest as well. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our King. And nothing can separate us from His love. What is it that David wanted? Well, he goes on to say and speaks to us of a communion with God that brings great security. He says, "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He'll conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent, He will hide me. He'll lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." What was his greatest hope and longing? That he could dwell with the Lord. It's similar to what he wrote in Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What should be the heart longing of every Christian? The heart longing of every Christian should be to be with the Lord, to fellowship with Him, to dwell in His house, to dwell with Him. That's what David wanted to do. He wanted to be able to live in the presence of God, in His temple, in His tabernacle, and to behold His beauty or His presence. He wants to meditate in His temple. Now, the temple wasn't there in David's day. His tabernacle, he wanted to, actually. And the word there really is shelter. But he wants to be there in the presence of God. And while God is everywhere present, and he was in the presence of God wherever he was, the particular place where God dwelt and his physical manifestation was there was in the tabernacle. And he wanted to be there with the Lord. And when troubles would come, think of the host surrounding him. What does he say the Lord would do? "The Lord will hide me in the secret place of His tabernacle. The Lord will hide me in His presence, the secret place." What that means is actually the Holy of Holies, a place where he, as the king, really wasn't qualified to go by himself. But since it was the Lord's presence and the Lord's place of residence here on earth, if you will, if the Lord wanted him in there, the Lord could get him in there. But it would be a place where he is sheltered and secure. And when things are all over, what's going to happen? He says, Now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I'll sing. Yes, I'll sing praises to the Lord. It's a time of victorious worship with the Lord. His head being lifted up is the picture of a victorious warrior whose head is raised, yet the prostrate before him are the defeated enemies. As you might see pictured in some of the antiquities that have been unearthed. You'll see the victorious king and the standing firm, his head raised up in victory, and prostrate before him are the conquered enemies. He would offer sacrifices of joy, sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Even as he wrote in Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. That's what he would do as God was working for him. He would sing praises to the Lord. Again in Psalm 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. Singing of praises to the Lord, because the Lord is due all of our praise. And he goes on to show that his commitment to the Lord is sustained in prayer. As he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Troubles did come in David's life. Sometimes there were armies surrounding him. Sometimes it was within his own household, even within his own family, that troubles came. And he says, his indication here in verse 7 is that the present reality is that his enemies are all about him. And so he entreats God to hear him and to answer his prayer. He trusts in God wholly and fully, and he prays to God to hear him. And he indicates that when God through his word said, seek my face, you know, seek after me, seek to be in my presence, what does David say? Yes, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. In all things, he was seeking after God. His heart yearned for God and sought after him. And he continues to pray that God would continue to support and to uphold him. As he says to him, praise to God, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help, so do not abandon me or forsake me. He's placing the whole of his hope and the whole of his trust in God. Even those times when it seems that God maybe just doesn't hear him, or he's not answering him right away. You know, he says, do not hide your face from me. You know, pray. I'm praying to you, O Lord. I want you to listen. I want you to, I want to hear from you. I want an answer. But you know, sometimes the Lord does say, wait. Sometimes we pray to the Lord and we just have to keep praying. Sometimes we're not going to get an answer to our prayers immediately. You know, any more between the short segments of TV programs, in between the long segments of commercials, and YouTube videos that tend to be, you know, fairly short. Some of them are long, but you know, the typical YouTube video isn't real long. Our attention spans have really shrunken. I mean, I even feel it. It's hard to concentrate for more than 5 or 10 minutes. And it used to be they'd say, you know, oh well, children only, you know, the young children, they can only concentrate for about 10 minutes, then they have to go off and do something else and this kind of thing. Well, we've gotten to be that way anymore. I feel it. Maybe it's just that I'm getting old. I don't know. But because of that, we want an answer now. We want now. I want what I want, and I want it now. You know, that kind of attitude. We can't wait. Some of it's because of advertising. It says, you know, you got to have this and you got to have it now if you're going to be happy. And you get it and you find you're not happy because you got to have something else. And so. And David is saying here, you know, don't hide from me. Answer my prayer. Don't turn away in anger. Don't be angry at me, O Lord, for I'm seeking after you. He says, you have been my help, so don't abandon me and don't forsake me. He says, even if my father and mother forsake me, which is something unheard of, especially in that culture. His trust resurfaces and he says, but the Lord will take me up. No matter what happens, no matter if I have to wait, I'll wait. But Lord, take me up. Do not abandon me. And he concludes by saying, Lord, I want your way. Lord, I trust you. My hope is in you. And I want you to teach me your ways. I want you to lead me. I want to do what you want me to do, not just what I want to do. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. For a traveler to be able to walk in a level path was a good thing, especially in the land of Israel, because there weren't too many level paths. It was much like out here, although it was even more hilly. And to be able to walk in a straight and a level way was quite restful. Lead me in a level path because of my foes. You know, if I'm always climbing or descending and there's rocks and stuff around, it's hard to avoid my foes. But lead me in a plain path. Lead me in the right way. Lead me in your way because of my foes. Don't deliver me into the hands of my adversaries. Don't deliver me over to them because false witnesses have risen up. And he says, you know, Lord, I would have despaired if it wasn't for you. I would have despaired unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of God or the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have despaired, O Lord, if I hadn't known that you were good and you were there and I could depend upon you. And so what is David's plea for us? His plea for us is to wait for the Lord. Be strong and take courage and wait for the Lord. Trust in him as he has trusted in him. Depend upon him as he has depended on him. Hope in him as he has hoped in him. Seek him as he has sought him. And wait for him as he is waiting for him. As Spurgeon said about this, he said, wait at his door with prayer, wait at his foot with humility, wait at his table with service, wait at his window with expectancy. Can you say with David that the Lord is your light and your salvation? Whom shall I fear? Is God your light and salvation? Do you know him as your hope and your Savior? David did. He trusted in God for his salvation. You trust in Christ for yours. Think of what David has said here and remember and ask yourself, do I trust in him with the same hope and trust that David did? Remember that God is greater than any need that you'll ever face. Any need. And every one of us is going to face needs in this life. No matter how young you are or how old you are, we're going to face needs. Some will be of more import than others. But remember that God is greater than any need that you'll ever face. And remember that God will never abandon you or forsake you. Think of what Christ himself said in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He's never going to abandon you, and he's never going to forsake you. Remember that. No matter what the trouble is. And remember that if God does seem to delay, because there are times that he does, he doesn't give us an instant reply. In fact, most of the time he doesn't give an instant reply. Most of the time we do have to wait for him and see him work. But if God seems to delay, be strong. Take courage. That's what David would say. Be strong and take courage and trust in him and wait for him. Because God is the one who is ultimately trustworthy and really worth waiting for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and we thank you for this message of ultimate trust through the hand of David. We thank you for his trust in you and for his showing us of how his trust in you should be our trust in you. We pray, O Lord, that in the times of trouble when they do come, that you might show yourself truly trustworthy to us, that you might be the one who opens up that door that we need opened. And, O Lord, we pray that as we wait for you, you might give our hearts courage and strength, that we might stand up in the day of trouble. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.